we were having a bite to eat. And I said, Sam, I think God showed me these two people that stole your car. And I described them to him. And how does that happen? I don't know. I just see something. And he said, the police, they just got those guys, got a confession, and they were just like you described them. And that just always blows my mind. Let me just say, is there anybody here that needs a word from the Lord or anything tonight before we go into our word? All right. Boy, it's good to see some young people sitting together. How wonderful. Well, I want to share with you tonight on a subject that I think that the Lord is speaking and saying to us. He's saying to you. I want to say this here. No one, here's what I'm going to share on in the next few minutes. No one knows you like God knows you. Number one. Number two, no one loves you like God loves you. And number three, no one knows your potential like God knows your potential. And having said that, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 in the New Living Translation. And now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as the king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil, go to Bethlehem, find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which one of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him and said, is there anything wrong? Do you come in peace? Make no mistake, Samuel was one of the most powerful men that ever lived in this earth. And his story is very extraordinary. And I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice also. When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by outward appearances, but I look upon the heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I worship and give you glory, God, that you judge what you see in the heart. And let people be encouraged tonight. Help them to know that's exactly the truth. Let me set a thought inside of your head tonight. Now, he was going to Bethlehem, and that's where the tribe of Judah was. And in the tribe of Judah, the family of Jesse was the least thought of family in the whole tribe of Judah. Now, David was the least of the sons. He was a little scrawny guy at the time, and he was the least thought of. And what I'm telling you, he was the least likely to be the next king of Israel. But God looks in the heart, and God saw something there. And I want you to know tonight that you are so, so special. God knows you like nobody else knows you. God is for you and not against you. God has big plans for you. I'm sorry to report, it seems like in my life, I've buried a lot of people that never came in to the plan of God for their life. And when I say God knows you, remember the word says many will come to me in that day and said, well, I did this or that. And the Lord will say, well, depart from me. I never knew you. But I'm going to tell you who God knows. Those that call upon the name of Jesus, his only begotten son, and do things God's way, which is the Jesus way, which is the way of the cross. You're special to him. Everybody's special. It is written in the Psalms, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't. But there's a dividing line, and it's the dividing line is that cross behind me. And it's powerful, and it's everlasting, and it will never, never, never fail. David was the least thought of in his family, but this is what God said about David. This is what David said about God in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5. If you'll put that up, fellas, in the New Living Translation. Psalm 139, for the choir, right, a Psalm of David. You have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know, if you meet God and you commune with God, you commune with him in your heart. Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's how come to much of the world thinks Christian people are out of date with what's really happening. But we're not out of date at all. Let me go and finish these verses. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place me. You place your hand of blessing on my heart. That's a sign of a believer. You have a blessing in your heart that's unmistakably could only come from one place. It comes from the Lord God himself. During the, as a result of the born again experience that the Lord, I never heard that expression till I told Sunday night, I think, the first time I heard it. I was 17 years old. A girl asked me, we're sitting on the lawn. She said, hey man. I said, yeah. She said, are you born again? I was not raised in the church that would know that. And I said, well, I don't know what to say. I said, what is that? And she began to explain that to me. It gave me the heebie-jeebies. And I started out by saying to God, thanks, but no thanks. I don't think I want anything to do with that. Well, from that moment on, though, I fell under the power of conviction from that very night until I got saved when I was 19 years old. I was under that drawing power of the Lord. And I began to read the Bible. Nobody had to tell me to read the Bible. I was hungry for it. It was my food. As Peter said, as newborn babies earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word, the first milk, the colostrum, so to speak, of the word so that you can grow. And you know, you don't have to tell a baby calf to suck on their mom or any other animal. They just naturally do it. So you know what that means? I just got born again. And I want to say something to you. Born again is not shaking a preacher's hand and walking out and going on your way. That's not being born again. But what is not too hard. Anybody can do. Anybody that wants to. Anybody that has a heart for it. So that's what David said about God. That's how he knew God by the time Psalm 139 came about. That's where we see him say, you know, Father, I'm going to praise you because of me, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by you, and there's praise inside of me. You know, David had a lot of power. He was a rock star of his day. Everybody loved him, and he had his interests, but nothing like God. When they got the Ark of the Covenant, when they got it back from the enemy, he took it and kept it and built the tabernacle, and he had it for several months, and he wouldn't let anybody else go, just him and God. That's how much he loved God. And in all that he did, when you get to the book of Acts, about chapter 7, the word says that God says, Jesus, that David was a man after my own heart. Well, now, wait a minute, God. Don't you remember all the things he did? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. What's in your heart? Let's go to the next place. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. No one knows you like God if you're born again. You have to understand that. That's in the sense that I'm saying, because Jesus said that on the day of judgment, there are going to be many that come to me, and I'm going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Because shaking somebody's hand and saying a 3-minute prayer does not make you okay. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work like that. But on the other hand, if you want the most exciting life in the world, well, you want to be around the Lord. That's for sure. God has given each of you a gift. Now, let me tell you about that. The people that say no to Christ, he's given them a gift. The babies that have been aborted, they had gifts on their life. God equips everybody. You are special to God. And God knows what your specialties are and what your gifts are. Not only that, the word says he's got a plan for you. If you follow that plan, he will bring forth that gift. I'll tell you what. I was a young married fella having the time of my life. We had found a great church in Modesto. We lived in Patterson, California, about 30 miles away. And everything was going so good. And this church was around 300 people, wouldn't you say, hon? About 300 people. And God began to deal with me. And he began to tell me things at that time that I'll never forget. He said, you're invited to be a part of the greatest harvest the world has ever seen in your generation. Enter into the harvest. And I thought, wow. I'm just now that, you know what? I was just married. I was about 23 years old when I didn't have any children or anything. But it's taken me this long. I think I'm a slow learner, but I'm beginning to see what a journey. How God, man, there's nobody like God. And at the time, our church had a youth ministry, and I didn't know much about it, but the Lord said, Angelo, I want you to be the pastor. I want you to be the youth pastor. I'd never been a pastor of nothing. And you know what? I had the best pack of hounds. I had all kinds of interests. Millie was in school. I was helping her get through school. We lived in the middle of 17 acres of apricots in the most beautiful place. We had a great life. Everything was going good. And I knew the youth group at our church. It was about 12 or 14 of the most pewy kids. I mean, they didn't care anything for God. They were just there because their parents were there. Most of them, their parents were in leadership. And I said, well, God, I don't know anything about that. This can't be right. And I just studied on that for days and days and days. And he said, Angelo, what I need from you is the same thing I needed from Mary, the mother of Jesus. I need for you to say, thy will be done. Whatever you say, here I am. And boy, I held out as long as I could. And you know, God doesn't have to kill you to make you feel like he's going to kill you if you don't listen to him. Just like your mom and dad, if you got a good one. They'll make you feel like your world's going to end if you don't listen to them. I wanted to teach my how to say, when I said, yeah, when I cut my eyes at them, they knew what that meant. That meant, if this don't stop right now, when we get home, we're going to handle this in a whole new way. Just doing the best I can. Trying to be as zealous as I can. Finally, God just through a series of events, I said, Father, thy will be done. Okay. And then he said something to me, and I knew I had God right there. He said, now I want you to go to Pastor Dillman, Pastor Mike, your pastor, and tell him that I told you that you're supposed to be the next youth pastor of the church. I wasn't afraid to do that. I knew he wasn't going to, I just knew he wasn't going to go for that. But I did what God told me, and I had a special meeting. I said, Pastor Mike, I said, I believe the Lord has told me that I'm supposed to be the next youth pastor of this church. And he laughed. He said, he did. I said, yeah, and I laughed with him. And they said, I don't know anything about that, blah, blah, you know. And I said, and I was very happy with that. I did what I perceived God told me. And I said, well, Pastor Mike, I agree with you. I've never pastored anything. But I really felt like I was supposed to tell you that. Maybe I was probably wrong. But I did what God said. And we can still come to church, can't we? And he laughed and said, yeah, go on. 2 weeks later, I didn't call him. See, I didn't look like a youth pastor. I didn't seem like I could be a youth pastor. I never thought of myself as a youth pastor. David never thought of himself as a king. He was the kid that went out and took care of his father's sheep, and he humored himself by being out there, killing animals that other people were afraid of. And he didn't see it in himself. He was probably the most surprised one when Samuel took that horn of oil and anointed him king. He was just a young fella still then. He was the least likely person in the entire nation of Israel that the world, that man that looks on the outward appearance, see, he wasn't big and tall and like Saul. He wasn't like his oldest brother Elkanah there. He was just a lowly shepherd boy. But as the song says, when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems full of just ordinary things. Now, Modesto was a town of about 150,000 people at that time. And I don't have, just have to tell you, I just took it over. And those kids, I remember sitting down with those kids. I thought, God, how did you do this? And then I said, forget that question. Why did you do that? Why me? Man, surely you got people. It was people in our church with Bible, from had Bible college and everything. You know, we had, church had money and had everything. But 2 weeks later, the pastor called me, and he said, we've had a little jingle jangle in the youth ministry, and will you do what you said you would do? I'd like to take you. There was about 10, 12 kids. He said, I'd like you to begin to work with them, Angelo. I said, yes, but I didn't know how to work with kids. I hated kids. The only reason we have two girls is because I promised Millie's mom and dad they wanted grandkids. And they wanted her to stay in school. And I kept both of them promises. But I'm telling you, on the last day of 1979, at about 10 minutes to 11, my life forever changed when Dr. Zadig put Casey in my arms. I've never been the same since. But I started messing with these kids. And, you know, it's funny what happens when you do what God's called you to do. And God, look at me, every last one of you, even them kids in the back that's goofing off. Can I tell you something? God's got a plan for each and every one of your lives. And it's a good plan. And it's a plan that'll make sense to you, and it'll make sense to God. You know what? Our pastor in California, Modesto, he prophesied that we would come here and that God would just open up many doors. Many things would happen. People would come. Money would come. And, you know, we started Paris Christian Center with my unemployment check. That's all we had. But God changed some things. And what I'm trying to tell you is stay in God. Stay in God and begin to act like and feel like and ask about what God's plan is for your life. Because God has a plan for you. We know Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I have a plan for your life, it says. And it's a good plan. Something that, you know what, and when you study that verse out in Jeremiah 29, 11, it's something that you're going to totally enjoy. Now, I can't tell you. I'm 73. I don't see any stop in me. I'm ready to start another church. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I'm ready to, if all my relatives up in Illinois have to do is catch up with what I think is God's doing, and we're going to start another church up there. I love this. Why? Because I'm doing what God called me to do because I believed him. I'm trying to convince each and every one of you that if you're born again, God's got a plan for your life. There's no such thing of being born again and God not having a plan for your life. And that youth group grew and grew and grew in just a little bit of time. We had over 100 kids. We outgrew every room in the building. They finally got us a restaurant that would let all those kids be in there. And I saw amazing things happen. I began to see miracles happen. I can remember the first time I laid my hands on Casey. She was an infant. She was sick. And the Lord said, lay your hands on her. And I laid my hands on her. And that fever went right up my arm. And where did it go then? I don't know, but it was gone. Is that true? It just was totally gone. Little infant baby. I remember my sister Heidi was laying dead on the floor. And all I could think of is my mom and stepfather left these kids, Kathy and Heidi, with me, and now she's dead. And the Lord said, Angelo. And he had to call me two or three times. I was in shock. I said, yes, Lord. He said, call her back. I don't know what stuff like that meant. He said, put your hand on her and say, in the name of Jesus, Heidi, come back. And I did, and she did, and that's true. And I've seen many other things that I can't explain. I don't know why it was important for me to say that yesterday, but I said it to Sam. I think he turned kind of white when I told him that. He said, man, he said, you don't. He said, that's exactly who, and I don't know their. I just know the description of them. And he said, that's them. Now I got one more place we're going to go tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 in the King James translation of the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. 12 and 13 says this. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now, here's a very important verse. See, Because shaking anybody's hand and walking out and there's nothing different, that's not being born again. It's just not. And everybody that tells you that it is trying to deceive you for whatever purpose. But now, much more in my absence, I say to you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that means? I've given you the gift of salvation. You know, when a baby is born of any kind, they owe it. They have to do certain things to grow up and mature and get full grown. Work out your salvation. You know what you're doing here tonight? I don't give a rip about who ain't here. If there was one other person here beside me, you'd be hearing the same message with the same exuberance and joy and excitement, because it's true, and this is the way the gospel really works, and God's interested in you. God has a plan about your life. How do I find it? Work out your salvation. Okay, you know what you're doing tonight? We're taking communion. Do this in remembrance. You're working out your salvation. When you come, when you lift up your hands, when you worship the Lord, when you worship God with your tithe, when you come and work here, work with this food and all the other things that true believers do. I believe everybody in this room, I know everybody in this room, I believe every one of you is born again. Every one of you. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say salvation comes by a 3-minute prayer and then you walk out and there's no change in your life. No, it starts with an introductory prayer and you begin to let God change you one day at a time. That's what it really means to be born again. It doesn't matter what church, what kind of church. And I'm going to tell you something. I used to say, well, I'm charismatic. I'm a word of faith person. No, you know what I am? I'm just a plain old Jesus person. That's all I am. Let me tell you the rest of the story. I'm a plain old Jesus person with a Bible. And when I was 19, 20 years old, I purposed right in my ear, I would know this word than anybody else I knew. You know how come? Because anybody that knew the word better than me, I got close to them to find out about it. Anybody that had any kind of an anointing on their life, I got close to them. Because that anointing can be caught, and it's also taught. And I've enjoyed it. I wouldn't change anything that's happened to me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't stand here before you as a real holy person. That's not what it is. I'm a person that answered the call. I just answered the call. That's what you're doing. You're answering the call. You just need to be led in the right way. And tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, everyone under the sound of my voice right now, I know you didn't send me here for nothing. Father, reveal your plan for each life in this room, from the youngest and oldest. Reveal your plan to everybody that ever hears this message at any time in their life. For it is, verse 13, my last verse tonight, for it is God that's working inside of you. See, attending a church doesn't mean that God is inside of you. God's got to be inside of you. I'm looking at each and every one of you. I know God's inside of you. And ain't none of us here perfect. And I really want to make you know that I'm not. Okay? You know what I am? I'm excited about God. And you know what communion is about? He's my continual Savior. He's my continual forgiver. And the Word says, He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. That means when we go to heaven, you think He's going to stop being at the right hand of God when we go to heaven? No, He's not. What's he going to be doing there? Talking about you? Interceding for you? Believing God for you? So that's my thought for tonight. Girls, come up here. I'd like you to, and you know what? As you can see, I don't give two rips about what people think about women or girls. I know who I am in the, see, I read the book. Okay. Every time I see you, what am I going to tell you? No storm lasts forever. Sherry, put your hand on this shoulder. You put your hand on this other shoulder. Get up and do it, sis. Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe and declare that you've given Mary a word to soothe and to set free. No storm lasts forever. I believe that. I believe it in Jesus' name. Are you ready to take communion? Is your heart ready? I'm asking you. All I can do is ask. God doesn't, that's all God can do. He doesn't force anybody. I'm asking you to find out who you are. Is there anybody here that's really interested? You think that God